We are in part four in the conclusion of our series called Uphill Habits. If you want to take out your little message notes, you can do that now. I want to encourage you to write some things down. We're going to have a good time today in this. And, you know, I've been looking forward to this all week long. And I love the opportunity that I have to share with you guys every week to teach you some things, what the Bible says. And the premise and the whole synopsis, if you will, of this particular series is that a lot of us have habits built into our lives. Matter of fact, somebody said this, we are what we repeatedly do. That what we incorporate into our lives, what we do over and over and over again, eventually becomes a part of who we are. And so we all have habits, some good, some bad. And you know, we're not here to talk about and dissect all of that. But what I want you to do is to understand that you can have good habits built into your life, and God wants to help you do that. Matter of fact, the thing that we've learned also in throughout this series is that this, we form our habits and then our habits form us. And so the good news is you can form good habits in your life that will bring you closer in your relationship to the Lord and help you move along in your walk with the Lord. And, you know, but the reality is this time of the year, a lot of us set out our New Year's resolutions. We have things that we want to accomplish. And here's the first thing that I want you to write down is that most people have uphill hopes, okay, but we have downhill habits. In other words, we want better. We want to strive for better in our life, but it's those things in our lives that need to be changed that bring us back down and keep us from being able to accomplish those things that we hope for. And what I really want to do in this series, and we have done, is I want to build some hope in you, some expectation in you. But here's the thing that you need to understand, and that is this. Hope is an excellent motivator, but it's not a strategy, okay? Hope is not a plan. Hope is not a strategy. It's something to build expectation in you. So what we want to do and what we have done over the last 3 weeks is give you some strategies that you can incorporate into your life so that you can be accomplishing those uphill habits. Let's look at a scripture in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says this, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. How many of you know that there's a lot of us, you know, not outside the church and inside the church, that we just kind of go with the flow sometimes and we don't even think about what's going on around us. And Paul is writing to us here and he says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you do things without even thinking. Instead, say this next phrase with me. Here we go. Fix your attention on God. Say it one more time. Fix your attention on God. See, what we need to do is we need to fix our attention on God. And here's what happens. He said, you'll be changed from the inside out. A lot of us are trying to incorporate change in our lives, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what we do is we try and do it from the outside in, and that's where a lot of failure comes in. God wants to do a work on the inside of us and cause us to change from the inside out. He goes on to say, readily recognize what he wants from you, what God wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. Here's my challenge to us this year. Let's not let the world drag us down to their level of immaturity. Let's do what the last part says. God brings out the best in you so he develops well-formed maturity in you. I don't know about you, but I want to mature this year. I want to be more mature this year by the time I get to December than I was in December of 2017. And that's what God wants for us. And so what God does, you know, I love this verse. And let me just park here for just a second. Notice it doesn't say that in order to get you to change, God points out everything that's bad about you. He doesn't point out everything that's wrong with you, all the failures, all the shortcomings in your life. Notice what it says. The verse says this. It says, God brings out the best in you. Tap somebody next to you real lightly and tell them, I see some good stuff in you. And turn to your second choice and tell them, I see good stuff in you too. God is wanting to bring out the best in you. And so the way he's going to do that is to cause us to mature. And so over the last 3 weeks, and you can go back and listen to the messages on our website if you'd like, or download the podcast, but let me give you the habits that we've already covered. Habit number one was this. We challenged you to come closer, get closer to God. I want to challenge you this year to get close to God. The scripture tells us, God said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And so what I want to challenge us to do is not see how close to the line we can get away from the Lord, but I want us to just go all in, and I want us to see how close we can get to God. And then habit number two was this, that you need to control your thinking. You need to control your thoughts. Again, the changes that take place in our life happen really between our ears first and in our heart. And it's when we change our thinking that we begin to experience change in our lives. And so we need to learn how to control our thoughts. And then last week, this was an awesome one because I think I got more out of this. Number three was this, and that is you need to stay aligned with God's purpose for your life. I think a lot of the things that we experience in our lives are, you know, I'm talking about as far as bad things, sometimes are caused because we're not in alignment with God's purpose. You know, I think sometimes we might fall into some bad relationships or, you know, difficulties and things like that just because we're not pursuing actively like we should God's purpose for our lives. And what I want you to see is that, you know, God, and we said this last week, God had the thing that for you to do. He created something for you to do, and then he made you to do it. And I love that. And I think that we need to, you know, just understand we're not an accident. You are not an accident. Somebody said, but my mom and daddy told me I was an accident. Listen, you might have been an accident from them, but you weren't an accident by God. God knew you were coming. God knew you were going to show up. And so he created an awesome purpose for your life. And the other thing that we said last week is this, that we need to learn to live by design and not by default. Don't live by default. Live by design. Live by how God has purposed you to live. And so that brings us to our fourth and final habit that we're going to build this year. And that is this. Habit number four is we're going to choose our relationships carefully. We're going to choose our relationships carefully. Yet, you know, I'm convinced that our relationship decisions have a greater impact on our life than we really fully understand. And I really think this is that, and I've heard this said, you are the sum total of your relationships. Let me say this to you, say it just a little differently. I can look at your friends and determine your future. Okay? But see, the people that we connect with, the people that we hang around with and associate with can determine and shape our future for us. And so God wants us to learn how to choose our relationships carefully. Let me show you a verse in Proverbs 27, verse 19 in the Living Bible. It says this, a mirror reflects a man's face, but look at this, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. I'm going to let that kind of just simmer for a second. You know, we could probably close our Bibles, I could pray, and we could go home, and we've heard enough that, you know, to bring some change. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to learn how to develop and to choose those relationships carefully. Now, here's what I want to do to start out with. I want to give you some verbs, some verb choices that you can make in your relationships right now. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Here's the first one. This year, you're going to nurture your important relationships. You're going to nurture your important relationships. These are verb choices that you can make. So decide today, the relationships that are the most important in my life, I'm going to take time to nurture those relationships. What does that mean? Nurturing means that you feed and protect those relationships. In other words, you do everything you can to cause that relationship to thrive. And so, you know, somebody said, well, you know, my marriage just doesn't seem like what it used to be. I heard somebody say this. You know, it just seems like the fire's gone out in my relationship, in my marriage. Well, guess what? That's not an excuse to head to the divorce court. You know what you need to do? You need to go out and get you some firewood and put some wood on that fire and maybe put a little newspaper, set a match to it, and relight that rascal. You know what? We don't. How many of you have a fireplace, or maybe you grew up with one, or a wood-burning stove? You know, if the fire goes out in that fireplace, you don't stand there and say, you know what? I got the worst fireplace in the whole world. You know, I just got a bad fireplace. My fireplace is pitiful. I just can't. No, you got to put something in there. And here's the thing that people forget. is that in our relationships, sometimes, how many of you know that if you grew up in the fireplace, you didn't just light a fire and then you could go about your business? Now, I'm not talking about a gas one. Okay, I know with some of us got gas ones and you hit a button and then you're just like, I like this. No, I'm talking about the old school ones where you had to go out and get the firewood, knock the stuff off of it, put the firewood in there. See, if you did not continually keep throwing wood in there, guess what's going to happen? That fire's going to go out. And so what we need to do is we need to understand there's some relationships. Maybe your marriage might be that way. Put some wood on that bad boy. Put some stuff in there. Get that thing stoked back up. Do some things to nurture that relationship. And what you need to understand is that once you begin to do that, that thing will come back to life and that fire will begin to grow. Here's what I want you to see, and this isn't in your notes, but write this down, okay? Feelings will follow your choices. Feelings follow your choices. See, a lot of us are trying to pursue feelings and then making choices based on our feelings. No, don't make choices based on your feelings. Make some good choices and the right feelings will follow. I just don't feel right in my relationship. You know, I just, what you need to do is make some decisions and let those feelings follow your decisions, because I promise you they will. Let's look at, let me say this to you. Like using the analogy of the fireplace that I just did, I want you to see this. Relationships take work. Okay? And just because you have to work at your relationship doesn't mean it's a bad relationship. Okay? And it could be your marriage, could be your relationship with your kids, could be relationships with friends or coworkers, whatever it might be. All of those relationships take work and they take effort and it takes a decision that I'm going to nurture those relationships. Let's look at what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 4 says this, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind that you may pray." Look at what he says. "Above all, love each other deeply." Above everything else that you do, make the decision to love each other deeply. Because here we go, love covers a multitude of sins. I need all the perfect people that are in the room right now, please pick your stuff up and exit the building to my right. Because I'm talking to imperfect people in here today. People that need a little bit of love to cover some stuff in your life. All right? See, love covers. And so when we nurture relationships and we develop love for one another and love each other deeply and passionately, we'll cover some mistakes up. It won't be about nitpicking. And listen, can I say this? Quit keeping score. Well, I could just drop the mic and walk off. Here's a second verb. Restore maybe some broken relationships. Maybe you've got some relationships in your life that, you know, are broken or damaged. Make an effort this year to restore some of those relationships. Now, I'm not talking about relationships that are ended, that should have ended, but I'm talking about relationships where there's just been some strife that's gotten in there, caused some strain in that relationship. Make a decision this year that you're going to restore those relationships. Maybe you have family members that you haven't, you know, maybe spoken to. And you know, there's always something going on. I've learned that with family, and particularly when you have a large family, there's always some drama going on. Come on now, somebody help me here. There's always, you know how it gets when you're at family reunion. There's always that cousin or somebody that's just kind of, you know, out there, and everybody kind of stays, you know, because it's just strained. Make an effort to restore those relationships. Here's what you need to understand. The pain of not having that relationship is far worse than the pain of trying to fix it. I'm going to say that again. The pain and the cost of not having that relationship in your life is far worse than the pain and the effort that it takes to fix that relationship. Let me show you what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 12, verses 17 and 18, it says this, "Do not repay evil for evil." Look at this. "If it is possible," now I know sometimes it's not possible, "but if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody." Listen, there's some folks that aren't going to let you live at peace, but that doesn't mean you don't have to have peace right here. You can forgive. You know, some folks you need to love from afar. Or as the country people say, love from afar. All right? From a piece. You know, you need to have your distance. That's okay. But in your heart, love and forgive and be willing to heal that relationship. And here's another verse. Colossians 3:13 says this. And this one's, this is another drop the mic verse. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Jesus said this in a verse, to whom much is forgiven, you ought to forgive. I don't know about you, but Jesus has forgiven me a lot. So who am I to hold stuff against somebody else? Now here's one, the next one, next verb, and I'm going to tread lightly on this one because I don't want anybody to take this one. Here we go. Sever some harmful relationships. There might be some toxic, harmful relationships that you have in your life. Don't be sitting here today and say, "Ooh, praise you, Jesus." God said, the pastor said, I could sever my relationship with my husband. No, don't be that way. Pastor didn't say that. No, sever those toxic relationships. And sometimes we have relationships that we ought not have in our lives. You know, sometimes we fall into codependent relationships where, you know, it's just unhealthy and it doesn't do anything for you. And we talked about this a little bit Wednesday night. Listen, maybe there's some relationships that you need to let go of that suck the life out of you. Well, I'm going to talk to these folks over here then. You know, some of us have people in our lives that every time, let me ask you a question. I'm just going to say this hypothetically. Do you have people in your life that when you leave their presence, you're absolutely exhausted? Well, you didn't have to answer. I mean, don't look at anybody nearby you. You know, he's talking about you, okay? But do you have people in your life that every time you leave their presence, you're just exhausted emotionally and you're just drained, okay? I'm just saying, maybe that's a relationship that you need to, in a loving, polite, and courteous way, end that relationship. Because here's what you need to understand, is that relationships ought to be life-giving. We need people. Now listen, there's going to be times when all of us need to minister to people and help people. I understand that. But I'm talking about everyday relationships that we have. There are going to be some relationships, and when you're with them, all of our relationships ought to be life-giving. You know, we ought to leave that time that we spend with people and go, you know what, I really enjoyed that. That really did me good. You know, that helped me out a lot. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. It says this, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. I mean, this is another drop the mic verse. I could just walk right off, okay? See, if you got some folks in your life that are constantly in trouble, if you hang around them long enough, they're going to pull you into trouble with them. Here's another verse. Do not be misled. 1 Corinthians, Paul said this, bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. I want to ask you a question. Are the people in your life, your relationships, or are they bringing you up? Or are they pulling you down? If they're pulling you down, then it might be a relationship that you need to sever. Now here's the fourth verb that I want to give you, and that's this. Initiate some meaningful relationships. Make a determined effort this year that I'm going to set out to have some meaningful, important, good, healthy relationships in my life. You know, I've really had to work on this as a pastor. You know, this might surprise some of you. I'm not an overly extraordinary people person. Okay. I love people, you know, but I have to work at developing relationships. And I think maybe some of you are like this too. And so what I've had to do is make a conscious decision that I'm going to develop some, and I started this last year in 2017, but I've really been working hard to develop some good, healthy, strong relationships with some other pastors in the city because we need one another. I need people that I can open up to, that I can be accountable to, just like you do. And so I, but here's the thing. It does not come automatic. Because what I'll do if I default is I'll just keep my nose to the grindstone. I'll stay busy and I'll do my thing. I'll love you guys and all of that. And what I found that that's not healthy for me as a person and as a pastor. So what I've had to do is work on developing some external relationships outside of the church with other pastors so that we can help one another and love one another. And so it's going to take effort. And you know, somebody said, well, none of this sounds easy. Well, that's why they're called uphill habits, because they take some work. They take some effort. Okay? So start some relationships that you don't already have. Maybe you have some neighbors that you've never spoken to. Maybe go out and talk to them a little bit. Do some relational evangelism. Maybe develop some relationships so you can eventually maybe tell them a little bit about Jesus in their life. So here, let me give you a scripture. Hebrews 10:25 says this, not giving up meeting together, not giving up meeting together. Look at this, as some are in the habit of doing. See, I had fallen into a habit of not getting together with some other pastors. And I've had to change that. And so what I encourage you to do, and of course, he's talking here about church, but you need to make a determined effort not to give up, not to build a habit of getting with some other people. Here's why. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here's the thing. And the people sitting in this room around you, they love you. We love you. And you need relationships with some people to encourage one another and to build each other up. All right, so I've given you four verbs. Now turn your notes over. And what I want to do now is I want to show you some things that you can do to master this habit. How can I develop some good and make good choices and choose some good relationships this year? All right, so here's some four different types of relationships that you need to initiate this year. Here we go. Number one, you need to develop your relationship with your local church. You need to develop your relationship with your church. And I purposely put my church. This needs to be your church. Now, I know some of you are visiting and some of you are fairly new and you're kind of just getting a feel. That's okay. And I know some of us, you know, we like to take some time, and that's okay. There's no pressure on anybody. But if you are a part of Spring Hill Church, this needs to be your church. You need to go beyond just being a member of the church. You need to understand that this is your church. Look at what Paul said in Ephesians 2. He said, so you are members of God's very own family, big family, and you belong. You belong. You belong here. If you're a part of Spring Hill Church, you belong here. Now listen, we'll be fine without you, but we'll be a whole lot better if you're here. We need you, all right? And I want you to be a part of this church. I want you to be, now there's lots of great churches. There's excellent churches in our city. But if you're part of Spring Hill Church, I want you to understand that this is your church. You need to move from being an attender to becoming a member. And I'm going to take it a step further. You need to have a mindset change from being a member to an owner. This stuff is yours. This stage is yours. These speakers are yours. This isn't mine. This is ours. And when, you know, there's just something different about people who take ownership. You know, people who take ownership don't walk by a piece of paper on the floor and not pick it up. Attenders do that, and that's fine. We who are owners and members have to do that. We have to take ownership of this place. And here's what I want to have happen this year. And listen, again, no pressure. If you're here just kicking the tires, just figure it out. If this is where you're supposed to be, no pressure. But I want those of us who are here that are part of our church, I want you this year to go all in. Thank you for those four amens. I mean, come on, let's just make the decision that we're going to make a commitment. We're going to move to a place of commitment, and we're going to go all in and take ownership of this thing, and let's take it where God wants to take it. Here's the thing that I do know. I can't do it without you. and I'd a whole lot rather do it with you. Amen? Amen. Here's number two. Develop some friendships or some, excuse me, develop my relationship with some godly friends. You need some godly friends. You need some people in your life that you can know that are godly, that they're doing their very best to walk with the Lord. You know how you can tell if you're hanging around godly friends? Here's why. They'll make you more godly. You'll be better. You'll be a better person because you have connected with these people. Listen, if your friends are not pushing you to become more like Jesus, you might need some new friends. Now listen, I'm not saying that we become an exclusive club and we don't hang around people that don't know the Lord. I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about those intimate friendships that we have in our lives. Our friends ought to be pushing us towards Jesus and helping our relationship with Jesus grow and not taking away from that relationship at all. You need friends in your life that are going to push you to become more like Jesus. Look at this verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. It says this, all the believers met together. Well, did I not put that verse in there? I guess not. Just listen to it then. And all the believers met together constantly, and listen to this, shared everything with each other. This is Acts 2:44. It says that the believers, they connected with one another and they shared everything. Now I know in some aspects this is from a material standpoint, but really you need to take the mask off. All of us, myself included, we all come to church and we have a mask on because there's things about us we don't really want you to know. Unless you need some relationships in your life where you can take the mask off and be real. And I'm talking about church relationships. Somebody said, but Pastor, I did that and I got hurt in church. Listen, there is probably not one person in this room that has not experienced some level of church hurt or disappointment. I'm going to be just as nice and respectful as I can when I say this, but listen, get over it and let Jesus heal you of that and move forward, all right? Let God heal you of that. Get into some relationships. Take off the mask and develop some relationships so you can get to the point where you can be real and honest with people. You know, I'm always amazed at how, you know, and this is when I very rarely tell people, and I've said this before, I very rarely tell people what I do, that I'm a pastor. You know why? Because the moment people hear I'm a pastor, oh my gosh, it's like Superman going into a phone booth or Clark Kent. They come back out and they're totally different. They've got this shield up. They start talking funny. They call me Reverend and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, no, you were cussing 5 minutes ago. Why don't you be real like that? And because you know who I am. Just be real. And so what I want us to do, especially here in our church, and let's just be real with one another and love one another enough that we want to find out, you know, and love each other to the point where we're comfortable taking the mask off. Here's number three, and that's this. Develop a relationship with a team. You need to be on a team. And I'm not talking about the Eagles or the Patriots. All right? No, you need to be on a team. We encourage everybody that's a part of our church. Right now, we have basically 25% of our people that volunteer on a regular basis every weekend. And what I would like to do is raise that percentage up to encourage you to be part of a team. You need to have that kind of relationship to be part of a team so that you're accomplishing something together. Because this is all about something that's bigger than you and me both. And I need to be a part of a team that is doing something and accomplishing something and getting some victories. Here's something that I want you to get, and that is this. You will never do anything significant by yourself. You must have teammates in your life if you're ever going to accomplish anything great. Anybody that's highly successful, I don't care. I mean, I've read tons of leadership books, written by people who are very successful people, and those that are really right about what they're doing, they will tell you, it is really not about me, it's about the team of people that work with me. And it's something you need to be a part of a team so you can experience some victories. You can have some wins together. And listen, we have just barely begun to pull the curtain back on things that God's laid on my heart for this church to accomplish. There is tons for us to do. Lots and lots of people God wants us to reach. And I can't do it by myself. I have to have you on the team. And so I want you to develop some relationships and get to be part of a team. Look at here at Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 8. It says this, there was a man all alone. He was all alone. He was by himself. He had neither son nor brother, and there was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. In other words, he tried to do it all by himself. He accumulated a lot of stuff, and it didn't do anything for him. And look at what he goes on to say. Two are better than one because they have a better or good return for their labor. In other words, two can get more accomplished than one ever could. I don't care how powerful, how, you know, really, you know, something you think you are, how big you might think you are, you can't do it by yourself. And you need to be a part of a team. Now, listen, we have teams in here that you can be a part of. I don't, you know, it could be, you could be an usher, you could be part of our host team. It doesn't matter. It's all about you finding out where God has gifted you. And that's why we do our growth track class, to help you discover what God has called you to do. But the thing that I want you to see is that once you get in that place, you discover what your purpose is, and you start serving with some other people, and you start experiencing some wins, I'm telling you, life becomes a lot of fun at that point. Life is okay maybe by yourself, but let me tell you something, it's a whole lot better when you've got other people on a team with you and serving with you. And here's the fourth one and the last one. And I want to just challenge you with this one. And as we wrap up this series, I want to leave you with this. And that is, make a determined effort this year that you're going to develop your relationship with God. That you're going to develop your relationship with God. As I was praying and looking at some things and in my message, and I was just in my office, and I was just thinking about some stuff yesterday. You know, I just felt really burdened because I believe, not only in our church, but in a lot of great churches, I believe there are people, Christians, who are saved. They've given their heart to Christ, and they know that they're right with God, and they love Jesus even. But I just have sensed and I feel like God is calling all of us to make the decision to go for it. Like the saying says, to go big or go home. I think some of us are maybe hesitant for whatever reason that, you know, maybe we're happy because we believe that if I come to church, I'm good and all of that. And I love the fact that you come to church, and I appreciate you coming to church. But I want you to understand something. There's a whole lot more to your relationship with God than just coming for an hour and a half on Sunday morning. There's a whole lot more that God wants to accomplish in your life than just the time that you're here. And I want to challenge us to go all in and to go for everything that we can. Make a decided effort this year. God, I'm telling you, you have all of my heart. Not part of it, 100% of it. Let me show you what he said in Jeremiah 29. He said this. Will you help me, please? This thing's not... There we go. If you look for me wholeheartedly, if you look for me with your whole heart, notice what God said, you will find me. And I want us to get to the point where we have sold out, where we are fully committed, where we quit dating God and we decide to commit to this relationship. I think some of us are in a point, and listen, I'm not saying you're going to hell. I'm saying, you know Christ, you are saved, but there's more. There's more that God is wanting to bring you to. And I just believe that all He's waiting for is a simple decision from you and from me to say, God, you know what? I'm going to give you more than I ever have before. I'm going to give you all of my heart. I'm going to give you all of my life. And I'm going to just trust and depend on you that as I move towards you and I receive your goodness, that you're going to pursue after me, and this relationship is going to go to a level that has never been before. I believe that for you. I pray that for you. If you knew the hours that I have spent praying for you guys, that your relationship with God would become everything that God wants it to be. Here's the thing that you need to understand. If you will give God your whole heart, He will take you places that you can never even imagine. Will you bow your heads and pray with me for just a moment? Father, we thank you for your presence in here today. And Lord, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to some hearts under the sound of my voice right now. And Father, I believe, Lord, that as you ministered to me this week and as we spent time together and looked over this message, Father, I believe this is the point that you wanted to bring us all to, is to really examine our hearts and say, does God have my whole heart? Or are there parts and pieces and boxes and compartments that maybe I've withheld from Him? I want you to just examine your own heart and maybe pray this prayer to yourself. Just say, Lord, do you have my whole heart? And just let God speak to you right now. And if He doesn't, the good news is He's not mad at you. Just surrender. Just give Him your whole heart today. And I'm talking to saved people. I'm not talking to people that are far from God. I'm talking to people who know Jesus. But does He have all of you? I want you to make a decision that in 2018, starting right now, on January the 28th, 2018, you're going all in. That this is going to be the year that you go all in like never before. And that you'll be able to just know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I love God with every fiber of my being. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice. I believe, Father, that there are people who are probably making some decisions right now to surrender their lives to you. Father, I believe, Lord, that as they do that, you embrace them, you receive them, and that, Father, it brings a smile to your face to know that you have all of each and every one of us. Father, if there happens to be someone in here under the sound of my voice that maybe doesn't have a relationship with you, maybe they haven't ever surrendered their heart to Christ, Father, I pray that you would help me find them today. Maybe there's somebody here under the sound of my voice that has given their heart to Jesus, but their heart's grown cold towards you, and you know, maybe they've messed up, they've sinned, and they're convinced that you don't want them back. Father, I pray that you help me find them today. Draw them by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here under the sound of my voice with every head bowed, every eye closed, I need Christians praying right now. If there's anybody here under the sound of my voice, you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ. You've never received the free gift of God's mercy, His grace, and His forgiveness that He pours out for each of us and that He bought and paid for some 2,000 years ago by shedding His blood on a cross. I'd love the privilege of being able to direct you to Him, to lead you to Him, and to pray with you today. If you're here today and you need to recommit your life to the Lord, the good news is God's not mad at any of us. He's so madly in love with each and every one of us, and He wants you more than you can possibly even imagine. If that's you, if your heart has grown cold and you need to come back home to the Lord, I'd love the privilege of being able to pray with you today. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to embarrass you or humiliate you in any way. I'm not going to ask you to do anything like that. But with nobody looking around, I need you to just take a simple step of faith and just simply raise your hand. And by doing that, you're saying, I mean business, God. I want you to have my whole heart today. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I want you to have it all. If that's you, just raise your hand up. Put it up quickly. I believe there are more. If you believe that and you're meaning that with your heart, I want the entire church, would you please pray this with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe that you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and holy. Jesus, you have my whole heart. I surrender my whole life to you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me a brand new start. I love you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, we had some hands that would go up. Can we celebrate that? Come on. Let's make some noise, y'all. Come on. Let's celebrate that. Yeah. God bless you.